you know, because of the gateway effect. Well, I will agree there is a gateway effect, but it's not a gateway leading towards the use of harder drugs. It's a gateway back from the use of these horrible substances. Because in many cases, people are coming to me with terminal cancer, and they're on hydromorphine, and I mean, these are very, very dangerous and addictive substances. But usually within a week to a week and a half, we can get them, you know, they go on the oil, and we can get them off these horrible substances, usually within a week to a week and a half. You know, I mean, the bottom line is, it's okay to sit there and, you know, and kind of let the world go by to some extent. But, you know, people are dying, you know, men, women, and children everywhere are dying and suffering for no reason. And one of these days, if you have no one in your family at present that, you know, has medical difficulties, well, one of these days they will. So, I mean, when the day comes when you have a loved one that needs this medication, do you not want it legally available? And this is what I'm looking for. I mean, this is a God-given plant that has never harmed anyone. So no one on this planet has the right to tell us that, you know, that we're not allowed to grow that plant, and no one has the right to tell us we can't use it as a medication, an energy supply, a food supply. It's just endless what this plant can do for us. And right now, I mean, with all this diseases and everything we're seeing worldwide, you know, the simple truth is we're living on a poisoned planet. And our health is, you know, our health is actually going down every day. You know, more and more people are becoming sick with one type of illness or another, and a lot of illnesses that we never even hardly heard about in the past, like Alzheimer's, Crohn's, and diseases like that. I mean, there's so many people now reporting difficulties with these illnesses. So, you know, we can eliminate this. All we have to do is perfect this oil, get the standards in place. You know, that's really what we need. We need quality control and standards. And then we can really test this oil properly. But it's so safe to use that in the meantime, I mean, we can be producing oils and healing people with them while we're determining which oils are the best. Because all of these oils seem to have wonderful healing effects. But I'm always looking for the most potent, the very best medicine possible. And I know within a very short time we could perfect this. And when that day comes, the whole face of medicine is going to change. Because in reality, I don't even feel at present that we have a medical system. You know, what we have is a bunch of doctors running around giving us prescriptions that are harming us. And they're breaking their own Hippocratic oath when they do this, and they know it. You know, if doctors would simply, I think everyone should sit down and read the Hippocratic Oath. Not just doctors, everyone should read it. And then you would understand what medicine is supposed to be about. And it's supposed to be about doing no harm. And when you're using medicines made, empiric medicines, medicines from plants, you know, like the wonderful hemp oil, that's exactly what you're doing. You're doing no harm, and you're giving them, the patient, a substance that has healing abilities that are simply beyond belief. So for God's sakes, anybody out there, you know, get behind this. You know, our world's in trouble, and it's up to us to stand up and change things. And I know with your help that we can do it.
Totally, Rick. You've got to, we have a caller. I'm not going to try and pronounce your name, so I'll let you do that, Rick. But I'll have a go. Is it Nocido? Nocido?
David is fine.
David. Oh, thank you, David. I think you've got
a question. That is simpler.
Take it away, David.
Rick, really great work. It was actually my fiance at the time that came across you on one of the network channels. And I think it's quite hard for people to still believe this, because obviously it's been stigmatized as being something that's bad, that can cause psychological damage and the rest of it. I think for someone like me, and maybe many others who are listening who have seen the information, it would be great to understand what the safe step one would be. And what I mean by that is, are there any known countries whereby you could have no problems growing what you need to grow to make the oil? Because obviously places like UK and everywhere else, you know, you're going to either have a house in the middle of nowhere where there's no one's going to trouble you, or just know someone, because that's the main thing, really, because you've obviously put the method out on your website, but it's just about getting access to either the core ingredients. That's the real step. So are there any countries, and what are the best ways of finding out to get the seeds or whatever it is you need to get to make the oil?
Well, one of the top countries right now that I've been following is Uruguay. Apparently, from what I've been told, there was never a law against cannabis in Uruguay until just recently. And it's really, the law is not against it. What they're doing, they're allowing everyone, from what I understand, they're allowing everyone in Uruguay to grow 6 plants for their own personal use. And in a climate, like Uruguay has a like more or less a Mediterranean climate. They don't know what snow is. So it's a very good growing climate. And, you know, when you get a warm climate like that, you can grow plants that are like 1 pound, 2 pound plants. So yeah, a person should have no trouble supplying themselves. And where it's a wide open book down there, you know, like if there's no law against it, then I think it makes good sense. But right now also in Spain, the doors are opening in Spain. And I think other countries are starting to, you know, I know they are, like Czech Republic is starting to look into this. But, you know, I just want to see people have the right, you know, the freedom to go out and grow this God-given plant. And if they so wish, to produce the essential oil from it, and then they could heal themselves with it. You know, where is it written that we have to go to a drug company to get the medicine that we need? You know, I mean, if we know how to produce something ourselves that will heal us more effectively than anything the medical system has, then who has the right to tell us that we can't produce this and use it? So this is, you know, really what I'm fighting for. You know, it's a very simple medicine. It's something, if you go to our website, phoenixtears.ca, all the instructions are there, how to produce it properly, what strain, you know, what type of strains to look for. The dosage instructions are all there. And in reality, once you make the medicine, once you do it a couple times, it's no harder than making a cup of coffee. As a matter of fact, I've often told people, if I wanted to, I could do it blindfolded. So there's nothing hard about this, and I'm not highly educated. There's no rocket science. This is something just about any ordinary Joe can do. And what happens is it basically opens the door that we have our own medical system. Then we become our own doctors. You know, I'm not saying we don't need doctors. If we break a leg or something like that, fine. Or you get in a car accident, we need doctors to put us back together. But, you know, when it comes to the medications we choose to put into our own bodies, I think that we have the right to determine what we wish to use. And I can tell you right now, anybody that's taking allopathic medicines from their doctors, if they went and they found out what the ingredients of these pills that they are taking, what these pills are made from, I think most people wouldn't even ingest these pills if they knew what they were actually made from. You know, chemicals and poisons do not heal. But when you have empiric medicine from plants, that's a whole different ballgame. And this truly is the greatest medicine on this planet. I've never seen any medication that comes anywhere near the healing power or the pain-killing abilities, because this oil will kill pain that morphine won't even touch. So to me, it's just a matter of time before this oil is recognized. It's being recognized now, but in a very short time now, it's going to be widely recognized. And when that happens, it will be a new day in medicine, and we will have hope for the future. You know, I don't want to live on a planet and have to sit here and watch my children, you know, suffer and die, and my grandchildren suffer and die just because we were too lazy to get off our asses and do something. I mean, this is all we have to do. Stand together as one, get up, tell our governments we've had enough of this nonsense. I mean, I'm all in favor of law and order. But when they're putting laws in place so the rich guys can make more money while we die, I think it's just about time we brought it to a halt.
I'm right with you. I do actually get, was it Dave? I think it was Dave, wasn't it?
Dave. Yeah, David.
Yeah, David. I kind of get that, you know, we need something now. We really do. We are looking into things. In Spain, which a guy called Lee contacted us after Rick's first show. And, yeah, we've been doing some, and I've noticed another person's just joined us from Spain. I don't know if you want to get in the call, but please text me and let me know if you do want to come in the call. I'll pull you in straight away. For people living in Europe, this would look like, and I don't know yet, we need more investigation, we need to keep looking, but it looks like Spain may be a viable alternative. Something I would like to see, something with a good standing of a seed bank. I'd like to see Rick send some seeds. You know, anyone who can do this, anyone can learn to crossbreed these plants and come up with, let's say, a suitable medication for them. It can be trained to the individual. I'd like to see people growing their own medicine, I actually think that is specific. There's more to this plan than we understand yet. There really is. But without going down that rabbit hole, Spain, you're allowed to have four plants. Now, what people are doing is they're gathering together in groups, in private groups, which are now growing cooperatively. This is taking off pretty well. We've even looked at whether it would be possible for us to be able, as Europeans, you see. Many people will say, well, you can just do this in Holland. But you can't. You have to be Dutch. However, in Spain, now, again, don't quote me on this. We need to do further investigation, but this is what we've got so far. And you can go there as long as you've got a residency there. So we need to be staying somewhere in Spain, okay, an address. Once you've got an address, you can apply for a card. It's like a residency card. Once you've got that, it has another name, you know, than that, but just so we can kind of grasp it. You have this card, which means you're a resident because you've got an address. Then you can apply to one of these clubs. In Spain, what's done in private is private. So you can then... You can grow. You can become a cooperative grower. We want to look at this. We priced this out roughly on the internet, and it came to €11,000. Now, I want to support Rick, and I'm sure we all do in this, because if we could have anybody doing it, let's get Rick doing it. I've got the capabilities to do it, and lots of other people have, and we've got some other people from other countries who have already said, you know, they really want to get in, they really want to get involved. So that's what we've been looking at. You can actually do it in Spain. There are people who are actually producing it now. Again, we can't go too much. These people are pretty much off the grid, but they are there, and we have got people who are now speaking to them. So hopefully we will be able to bring that, you know, more information on that, or even begin to get... I mean, what a thing to work for. This would take us no more than 3 years. And it was less than €40,000 to be able to set up somewhere where we cure at least six people a year from cancer. And remember, that's the first one. Once one's done, it should have enough to promote a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth, and it should be able to roll this out. So we tried to look at it as cheap as we possibly could. That's renting a property for 12 months, putting the equipment in it, working in a cooperative and setting up the cooperative. It's less than €16,000. That's euros, not English pounds, remember. And so if we play as cards, right, with the New World Order banks, we can get it a little bit cheaper. And so I hope to be able to give you more on that. We have been contacted today, literally 20 minutes before we started the show, by a gentleman who's already cured himself from cancer. He's in the UK and in Birmingham. He's going to be joining us later in the week. So it is actually happening. People are actually doing it. I mean, for me, if I could save people's lives, if I could forget saving the lives, I've said this before, let's stop people suffering. €40,000, why is it not happening all over the place?
The idea I had too, like about, you know, starting a big seed company, you know, to supply the medicinal needs of people, that really wouldn't interfere much with the seed companies we now have, because the seed companies that we have today, they breed more or less for connoisseurs, you know, people that like like a strain. There's a strain we have here. It originated here in Canada called Blueberry, and it actually does have that scent of blueberries when you're smoking it. And it's not bad. It's not bad cannabis, but the cannabis that I want to breed is almost so strong that it's beyond belief. I mean, some of the cannabis that I grew a few years ago here in Canada, I had people that were pot smokers for decades come down, and they would just light one of these joints and they'd have one or two puffs and it would just knock them right down. And a lot of people they said that, you know, they found it so powerful that they couldn't even smoke it. But that was okay with me because I'm looking for that power for medicine. So I don't think that what I have in mind for seeds is going to interfere that much with the seed companies. They'll still be producing their different breeds and everything. But I want to nail this medicinal aspect down. You know, we have to grow the most medicinal strains on the planet and then cross them and breed them and you know, and determine which ones or what mix of different cannabinoids work the best, you know, for what diseases. But I honestly think there will always be a place in our medicine cabinets for oils that we can produce ourselves, you know. And if the governments were half honest, I would think that governments everywhere should be actually doing this for their people. You know, heal your people. Why not? But the problem is, you know, your governments are all in the back pocket of the big money types. You know, the same people that run the pharmaceutical companies and are in our mainstream media, well, they also run our governments. And that's a very, very sad situation. But, you know, it's really our watch and it's our duty, you know, to stand up for the future, you know, of the human race. And if we get together and do this, I think it's probably, when you look back on it, it's going to be the most important thing you've ever done. And, I mean, who doesn't want to help their own children? You know, when you look at, you know, I don't want my children raised in this poison world because I know what it's going to do to them. I want to see a better world, you know, a world where we can live in peace and good health. And if we go about it properly, I don't see any reason why we can't achieve it.
I think actually we're looking at crimes against humanity here.
It's definitely a crime against. When you withhold a medicine that can save people's lives, that is genocide. And if you go along in keeping this medicine restricted, then that's complicity in genocide. And that's what's been going on worldwide for decades now. Canada, the United States, England. All of these governments, technically, they are guilty of genocide. And I know they don't like to hear that. But, you know, I mean, just think how many people are living in England right now that need that oil. And how many people will die if they don't get it. Now, who's responsible? I would have to say it would be the English government. And I think it's just about time that they wised up.
Yeah, I'm just going to see if Dave wants to... David. Wants to put anything else in there?
Yeah, I do. Thank you so much for that response. I think the last question I wanted to say, you know, to enable people either the ability or access to start taking action and to join forces to ignite the movement, as you said, I think what would be a good idea is if there's a section on either your website or somewhere, like a blog, where information about the places, the schemes and all the nations where it's legal to get access to that, so people can then start taking action that way, and then you can have group power that way. That's my suggestion. It'd be good to be able to publish that, because right now there's people like me that have no idea where to go as a first step beyond your website and looking at the method. It's like I can see it, but it's like looking through a glass window. There's nothing I can do about it. So that's the main thing.
You're here, Mick.
You're quite right.
You've arrived. This is what we're doing. You're 100% right. We've got to spearhead this action. You know, Ricky is the head of the cannabis movement on Earth. There is no ifs, ands, and buts. We want to invite everybody in. Let's get together. You're 100% right, man. And if you can do that kind of thing, please get on with it. This is your radio. We need everybody to do what they can. You know, get it on. If you start it, tell us, and we'll run with it with you, bro. We really will, Mick. Brilliant suggestion.
What do you think, Rick? Is that something you could do on your website and people can contribute towards it that way?
Well, I mean, you know, like our website's there, but, you know, like the problem with me is I'm terrible around computers. Actually, Yindrich Bear, he takes care of most of the computer work because computers tend to go up in smoke when I'm around. But, yeah, I mean, this is the idea. Get people together, unite, you know, and don't go to your politician alone. You know, get about a dozen people and march into your local politician's office and tell him you want something done about this. And if he don't do it, then don't vote for him again. But, you know, there's many places right now, and I'm looking at the U.S. You know, they've got, I think it's 17 states now legal, and I think there's seven more looking into it. And I really believe in a very short time, every state in the United States of America will legalize the use of this medicine. Although the federal government there, Obama and that crowd, I don't think they'll like it too much. But when your people want something, how can you keep it away from them? You know, especially when it's harmless. And it, you know, it does so many wonderful things for us. So, you know, this in reality, the way I look at this plant, if we continue on the path we're on right now, and we continue to try to not use that plant, well, we're just destroying ourselves, because this plant can save the earth. It can detoxify the soil. You know, it can give us a wonderful food supply, which we're going to need, I think, in the near future, you know, because there's nothing better than hemp seeds for food. And then you look at, you know, if you plant the hemp properly, you can get 1,800 gallons of ethanol per acre. That would make us all, you know, if we had an acre of land, we would be energy independent. We wouldn't need their energy. You see, this is part of what they want. They want to keep us enslaved to their system. But we can have our own system, and this system would make some sense, because their system is just leading us down the path to destruction. What I'm talking about will save the planet, and it would ease so much suffering. You know, why are we letting children, you know, be mutilated in these cancer clinics? You know, take little children in there and give them chemo and radiation. My God, I mean, anybody that would even consider doing such a thing should be thrown in jail, as far as I'm concerned. You know, give these children something, you know, that'll heal them.
Hiya, all right.
Rachel, just hold on. You've come on to a live show. Let Rick finish and we'll bring you in.
Well, that's okay. I think I got it pretty well finished. You come aboard, Rachel.
Can you hear me all right, yes?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear, dear.
Okay, I just want to first of all say to Rick that I've got nothing but admiration for him. You'll have to bear with me a bit on this call because I'm not very well at the minute. And my voice goes a bit, I get a bit out of breath, okay? Basically, I've already cured my breast cancer once using the cannabis oil. I had stage 3 breast cancer. I did the whole course and got the all clear. Unfortunately, I've just been re-diagnosed with it again.
Were you taking maintenance doses of the oil?
I did a maintenance dose. I was doing the 12 grams every year.
So you were declared cancer free and you kept taking 1 gram a month as a maintenance dose and your cancer came back?
No, I didn't do it like that. I did it a bit wrong, actually, I think, because what I did is I thought it was that once a year. I didn't realize it was the maintenance dose, so I'd do it in like a block, and then I wasn't taking it when the cancer came back.
Okay, dear. Yeah, that can be a problem. I mean, you're taking these maintenance doses, well, not just to stop the cancer from coming back. You know, I mean, it works in all different ways to help our bodies, you know, our overall health. But it's a very good idea to stay on a maintenance dose after you've been cured. Just stay on a gram to 1 to 2 grams a month, just to drop at night before you go to bed. And that way you should maintain good health. But I'm very pleased to hear that you cured your cancer with it. That's wonderful.
Yeah, no, that was brilliant. And anyway, so like I said, I've just been diagnosed again and I've started on another course of oil. I'm probably about 10 grams into that.
Are you taking anything else? Are you changing your diet? Are you bringing your pH up? That type of thing?
Yeah, I'm doing all those things. Great. You know, my diet's pretty spot on, like watching the alkalinity and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, I think it's all an important part of it. I mean, it's got to be a holistic treatment.
Oh, it is. I mean, everyone that came to me, I mean, I told them about these, you know, change your diet, you know, eat more watermelon, things like that. Get your pH up and eat the seeds from 2 apples every day. But unfortunately, most people, they didn't really pay any attention to what I said. They went home. They did take the oil. Thank God. But they took the oil and that cured them. But I think that anybody that has a serious medical condition should be doing everything possible, especially when it's natural and harmless. You know, do everything possible to help yourself. You know, because there's many things that I believe that actually, you know, will help with the oil treatment. You know, things like B17, Laetrile, I think that's a great benefit, you know, along with the oil. But, you know, for those who didn't want to follow any of the other instructions, in most cases, the oils still work for them. So I guess it just proves how effective this medication really is. You know, I used to get all these people coming in and talk about, you know, the power of positive thinking. And, you know, I'm all in favor of that. But I had a lot of people come to me and say things like that, you know, and you have the power of positive thinking and that's going to heal them. And when they bring that type of thing up, I just look at them and say, well, does a dog have the power of positive thinking? You know, because the bottom line is we're healing dogs with terminal cancers in a week to a week and a half. And a dog does not have the ability for positive thinking. So I don't know how much positive thinking really has to do with it. But I like to see people have confidence in this treatment. You know, I know in the beginning when I first started doing this, like most people didn't even want to put this oil on their skin. But once people got onto the oil and they started taking it, within a month, if you tried to take that oil from them, you'd have one hell of a fight on your hands because they see the good it's doing for them. You know, it's just a wonderful substance. And, you know, why should we have to go through life, you know, sick? You know, the simple truth is, you know, by the time you hit about 50 years old, you haven't got much to look forward to. You know, arthritis, diabetes, cancer. Well, you know, I mean, without the oil, that's our future. But if you have the oil, it takes the suffering away. I mean, eventually, yes, we'll all die sooner or later. But do we have to suffer for 20 or 30 years before we get there? And this is what I see, the wonderful ability of this oil to ease all of this suffering. And, you know, and then we can enjoy our lives. And I do know, I mean, I know from the patients that I've treated it, certainly it will extend life. And I really think that in time, once we understand more about all these wonderful things that nature provides, that we could extend human life possibly even into hundreds of years. So I think, you know, life's about living, so why suffer? And if you can live a bit longer, then I don't see any reason why you shouldn't.
No, exactly. But one of my question that I was going to phone up to ask you about was about the dosage. On your website, you mentioned about taking 60 grams, obviously, over the shortest time, doubling that up every 4 days. Now, recently, I was on your Facebook page, and there was somebody there who cured their pancreatic cancer by taking just half a grain of rice size over a period of time.
Well, you're taking a chance with your life. That's the bottom line. I mean, I had a terminal cancer patient come to me here a few years ago. He was dying of liver cancer. His doctor only gave him about 3 weeks to live. And he came, he got the full 60-gram treatment from me. And it was about 8 months later, he calls me on the phone just after New Year's and wished me a Happy New Year. And I said to him, I assume you're taking the maintenance doses. And he said, well, no. He said, I haven't even finished the treatment. And I said, what do you mean? You got the treatment from me 8 months ago. You should have been done like 5 months ago. And he said, well, Rick, all I've taken is 1 6-gram tube. And it cured his terminal liver cancer, one tube did. But I went right down his throat and told him, I said, look, you know, his name was Mickey. And I said, Mick, you've got to take the whole treatment. You know, I mean, cancer doesn't just start growing in our bodies for no reason. There's an underlying reason. Our bodies are in a sick condition to allow cancer to be formed. So, you know, this is what the oil does. It doesn't just go after the cancer. It goes after the underlying condition that's allowing the cancer, you know, to become prevalent. So it's the best medicine in the world.
Yeah, well, that's a big difference between taking the oil and conventional treatment. I mean, conventional treatment, I mean, they so-called target the symptoms and then trash your immune system so low that it's way more likely to come back.
Well, this is more like they target your wallet.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, you know, who in their right mind would think that poison is good for them? Or radiation. Radiation is poisoning, too. I mean, look at the Second World War there in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Those people that died later, they all died from radiation poisoning. So, I mean, and what you're getting in these hospitals, it's the same thing. When you go in for a CAT scan, they're giving you a massive dose of radiation, which is not healthy. And I've been fighting against CAT scans forever, although there was a study just released here a few months ago that did state that, yes, radiation can kill cancer cells to some extent. But the cells that it doesn't kill, it rotates these cancer cells into cancer stem cells, which are 30 times harder to kill. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't care what medical condition you have. The first line of defense is the oil. You know, I'm sure that you're going to find the best results if you go with the oil first. But if you go with chemo and radiation, then you're looking at, you know, all of that damage that these treatments leave behind. And you know, normal person, like if you contacted me and you had lung cancer, I would say, and you had no treatments from the medical system, I would say take the 60-gram treatment. And most of the time, after 90 days, you're cancer-free. But if you've had these horrible treatments like chemo and radiation, instead of taking 60 grams of oil, I would strongly suggest that you take 120 to 180 grams as quickly as you can. It might take 4, 5, 6 months to do it. But, I mean, you have to undo all of that damage that these horrible treatments left behind, because if you don't, the cancer will come back. And it's coming back because these treatments that the medical system gave you are carcinogenic, cancer-causing treatments.
Well, the only conventional treatment I had last time was radiation. I refused chemo. I just felt that was wrong. I actually got, I feel I was bullied and intimidated into having the radiation.
Isn't that disgusting what they do to people? You know, they do bully. They browbeat you into taking their absurd treatments, don't they?
The doctor actually lied to me and told me that the cancer had spread to my liver and lungs to make me take the radiation.
Oh, my God.
And it was a complete lie.
That man should be stripped of his license. As a matter of fact, I think most of them out there should be. Well, you know, it tells you something about the world, and I mentioned this, I think, on the last show, but, you know, it kind of tells you, you know, if a guy with a grade 8 education like me can take someone like yourself and make a simple natural extract and cure your cancer, but yet all of these learned medical professionals can't, it tells you right there, there's something badly wrong with our medical system. You know, it's not about healing anymore. It's just about money. And, you know, that's not what medicine is supposed to be. So let's take the money out of it. And the first thing we should do to do that is make these governments drop these absurd laws against this plant. Because if there was no laws and we could grow this freely, then you could buy a pound of good, or a kilo of good medicinal hemp bud for $10.
I think it's totally criminal because one of the drugs that they wanted to put me on for 5 years would have cost the National Health Service 20,000 euros a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would all go in kickbacks and payoffs. You know, it really is. It truly is pathetic. But, you know, when you see the healing power of this natural substance and you realize it is totally harmless. I mean, this substance doesn't make you sick. Your hair doesn't fall out. It doesn't compromise your immune system. It boosts your immune system. This is what I see. The insanity, you know, in the medical system today, you take someone who is deathly ill from terminal cancer and go in and give them all this poison and all this radiation, and that's supposed to help them? Yeah, it does. It helps them right into the grave. And any doctor with a brain in his head should realize that.
But, because after I had the radiation, they gave me another test and everything, and they actually found that the radiation had spread it.
Yes, exactly.
And at that point, I discharged myself from the hospital and went on to the oil.
Good for you, dear.
So I cured it completely with the oil. And well, you know, I really believe that why I'm in this mess again is a result of the radiation damage and the illness that I've been going through at the minute. You know, this breathing and everything, that's all to do with the radiation.
Yeah. Well, and it was very strange, dear, but I know, like, the people that used to come to my house, you know, and then they'd walk through my door, and a lot of these people, I mean, they were right at death's door. And the first thing I would say to them, you know, are you done with the medical system? And if they said they were done, you know, they weren't going to go to the medical system anymore, I would work with them, and we saved a great number of lives. But, you know, if they're going to keep running back to the medical system for CAT scans and listening to these doctors, because the doctors don't want you to heal, and they don't want you to know about this natural oil, the healing power this substance has. So they're going to do everything, you know, that they can to keep the public away from it, because they're protecting their jobs, aren't they? Their big incomes and their profession. But, I mean, I have nothing against doctors. If they are doing their job properly and if they are actually trying to heal the people, I don't have a problem with them. But where do you find a doctor that practices medicine in that way today?
No, well, I did feel as well when I was under the hospital that they were definitely breaking the Hippocratic Oath. They were actually causing me harm.
Well, they do it to everyone. I mean, look at these mammograms. You know, you take a woman with breast cancer. All right, now let's go in there and put, about 50 kilos of pressure on the woman's breast? Well, what's that going to do? Is that going to burst these cells open and spread the cancer? More than likely. You know, I think so many of the things that they do in day-to-day medicine, I think it's just absurd.
Funny enough, that was my first argument at the hospital, was that they wanted to take a mammogram, and I refused.
Well, I think these doctors should put their own heads in a vise and give their heads a good squeeze.
Yeah.
Might help wake them up. But, you know, like a young woman like yourself, and I've met so many of them, you know, that, you know, young women with young families, you know, small children, you know, and now they're at death's door for no damn reason. You know, it's... it's really, you know, I worked in a hospital myself for 25 years, and I knew many, many doctors well. And I always had respect, you know, for the medical system until I discovered this. And then I went right to these doctors that I had known for decades, and I watched every damn one of them turn their back on this. So that changed my mind about the medical profession real quick. And I realized that these people are not about healing. They're simply about, you know, self-aggrandizement, as far as I'm concerned. You know, they're not out to help the people they should be helping. And, you know, I just don't know how anybody could, you know, could do what they're doing. You know, how do you get up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror knowing that you're going into an oncology unit and you're going to give small children massive doses of poison? Now, I mean, anybody with a brain in their head should realize that, no, you're doing harm. And that's exactly what these doctors are doing. And I'll tell you right now, if anybody ever tried to give a child of mine chemotherapy or radiation, I wouldn't want to be them.
No.
I think there would have to be some retribution involved. You know, nobody is going to poison my child and kill it, you know, without me coming at them.
Well, I'm definitely not going back to the hospital at all. I've got every faith that the oil is going to cure me again, because it did last time.
Well, I haven't been to a doctor in 10 years, dear. And once you have the oil, there's very little reason, you know, to go to doctors. As a matter of fact, you know, that's part of what they're afraid of, because if everyone had a big jar of this oil in their home, which we all should have, you know, in case any of our children cut themselves or anything like that, the oil is there and it's instantly usable. But the doctors all know that right now, things that you would be running to them for, instead of going to them, if you had the oil, you would just stay home and heal yourself or heal your children. So I would say that there's going to be a lot of doctors in the future lose their jobs because the work is just not there for them. You know, as a matter of fact, you might see one in five doctors still in the profession. Because if people can heal themselves, what do we need them for?
Have you, Rick, have you ever come across an eLibra machine?
An eLibra? No, I don't even know what it is, dear.
Basically, it's a kind of scanner that was originally invented by NASA to monitor astronauts' health in space. They needed a way to be able to be down on Earth, obviously, and then you've got the astronauts up, and they can monitor completely all their sort of vital signs, life signs. So it's a machine that basically measures your electromagnetic field.
Okay.
And it works on a similar basis to a mobile phone.
Well, that kind of scares me. if you read my book, I wrote a piece in my book about mobile phones. I am totally against cell phones and, well, even computers, because this microwave radiation that we're all exposed to today, you know, it doesn't kill you in a month, but give it 30 years and it probably will. You know, we're exposed to this, and it's the same thing with the honeybees. They're saying that this microwave radiation is what's causing the extinction of the honeybees. Well, if the honeybees go extinct, then the farmers, we're going to be in a real bind when it comes to a food supply. But again, you go back to that wonderful cannabis plant, the males and the females, and you don't need the honeybee. You know, pollination, you just put the males and females out there, the males pollinate the females, all they need is a wind. And there we probably have the greatest food supply on Earth. And it's a food supply that will grow basically almost anywhere, even in harsh climates. Where you see, you know, like in Africa, you see all these children starving to death. There's no reason for that. If they were allowed to grow hemp in these harsh climates, you know, they could feed themselves. You can reclaim deserts. It's just endless what you can do with this plant. But as long as these restrictions are in place, then the human race is going to continue to suffer. And all we have to do is just look back at the history. You know, back in the 1800s, early 1900s, the pharmacopoeias were basically wall-to-wall hemp. As far as I know, it was used to treat over 600 different medical conditions. But, you know, today, it's some kind of big, bad drug. Well, that's a total lie. Cannabis has never harmed anybody. But I'll tell you one thing. It's got the human race, as far as we've reached today, it got us here. But right now, we desperately need this plant, you know, to continue our evolvement or to continue our journey.
I think I slightly didn't explain that very well when I was saying to you about the eLibra machine being similar to a mobile phone. I didn't mean in the way that it gave out the microwaves, but I mean in the way that you can dial up somebody from the machine.
Well, I mean, I suppose anything that would help keep track of your health, if you're in outer space, it would be a good idea, likely.
But anyway, the point that I was getting to with the machine is that I actually get myself monitored on that machine now. And it's a very safe way of being able to tell, you know, whether you're cancer free and all that sort of thing without filling your body up with microwaves and radiation. I actually first started using it at the first time when I was under the hospital and I was having biopsies, and all the results from the Libra machine and the hospital test came out exactly the same, which to me was a good test for that machine.
Well, these electromagnetic fields that, you know, that surround us, well, practically everywhere, power lines and that type of thing, I never used to place a great deal of importance on them, but over the years I've studied into it a bit, and I know a good friend of mine, he had quite a bad heart condition here a few years ago, and come to find out there was two short circuits in his house, and when he had the electrician come in and fix the short circuits, no more problems. So, I mean, even in the wiring of our homes can affect our health. You know, if there is a short circuit or something, because we run on electromagnetic impulses. And if those impulses are being interfered with, well, chances are we'll wind up with some health problems.
Rick, there's a question from chat, and I think it's a question we're going to have to answer again and again every single show. Arnie J in IRC chat is asking, where can we get oil in the UK? And I know the answer is grow it yourself, but I think you need to expand on that a little bit.
Well, getting oil in the UK at present is, well, I mean, basically impossible. You either have to go to somebody that's growing the plant material and get the material from them, or you have to grow it yourself. You know, I mean, it's such a sad situation here because, you know, if the English government, you know, they have no excuse to maintain these laws. They never did. I know I had a meeting with the advisor to the Minister of Health in Croatia last fall. And the first thing this woman said to me, she said, it's addictive. And I looked at her and I told her, I said, even the Canadian government admitted years ago that this is non-addictive, you know, and it's been known all through history. But they're always looking for ways, you know, to keep it illegal. And I looked at this woman and I said, you don't even know why it's illegal, do you? I said, did Croatia ever do a study to determine there was a danger here? No, they didn't do a study. They just went along with all the rest of the countries. And basically, when you look at it, you know, the United States of America, they had a great deal to do with putting these stupid laws in place. And then, you know, the United Nations backing them up. So they're all into it together. But it really is. It's just the big money people in the background that don't want us to have this. But they have no right to deny us the use of this plant in any way we choose to use it. And I'm not looking for decriminalization. I am looking for complete legalization. If you want to go out and grow in your backyard, if you want to go grow 1,000 plants, I couldn't care less because it's not going to harm anyone. So, I mean, why shouldn't we all just grow it freely?
Sue Dahmer did a little bit of research, only a little bit today. Sue Dahmer, are you there about what's happening in the UK currently with the legalised movement?
Hello, mate. He didn't get back to me, so at the minute, I don't know. I texted him, I tried to phone him back, the head of Clear, and as yet, I didn't hear anything from him. I've texted him, so I don't know anymore, really, because I've heard a few mixed things, really, so I wouldn't like to say that in present.
Well, quickly, while Rick's away, if you do want to call in the show, please do. Please get in. You're welcome to stay on the line. I think David's still with us. Please do stay on if you like. And Rachel, absolutely brilliant to have you with us and to hear about your success. And you know, I don't need to wish you all the best because you're taking the best possible solution, Rachel. So fair play to you, girl. You know, we need to kind of encourage this more people to actually speak out. I've used cannabis for arthritis, and Max Radico, who may join us later, he's having a few problems with his internet connection. Max may join us, and he's put that up on the YouTube recently with me dancing around in my living room. The difference between, you know, taking myself half an hour to get out of bed in the morning and being able to dance, nobody should be allowed to take that away from anyone. We've just got to keep pushing it. We're the survivors. We're the survivors, you know. We got to tell them. Anyway, I'm not going to go in down there. it looks like that something we've touched on many times before, that a lot of the numbers we're hearing about, especially in the UK, the organisation, how organised it is. I'm not a great one for organising anything. I'm really not. But there must be people out there who are capable of doing this. You know, as David said earlier, we need to get something set up which is ongoing and running, which has not got some crazy hierarchical system in it. So many people seem to have their own personal angle in it. Now, I don't mind that being your own health and your own well-being. That's fine. But when it comes down to money and finances and what they're doing, Rick's medicine is being sold all over the world. It's not Rick's medicine. It's not what how he's going about it. People are producing lower-grade oil, basically, and selling it under the name of Rick Simpson. So if anything else, we've got a kind of support that we've, you know, to get the quality that's required. Going back to the UK, I know for certain that over 250,000 600 watt ballasts were sold in one northern town. Okay? In a town, not a city. Okay? So that is $250,000, well, over, I mean, about 1.2 meters out of a 600 watt light. And if you're used on a light mover, then you can increase that. You can double your capacity and take down the energy consumption. Now, grown over a maximum of a 16-week period, that should actually produce you enough medicine to go through Rick. Now, look, all I'm saying is there must be people out there doing this, unless there is a 250,000 people out there with 600-watt lamps growing fruit and vegetables. I suspect that there isn't. And that's from one, bear in mind, one supplier. And those figures have gone up, of course. That's 18 months out of date. And I'm sure there's more being sold. This is just as a little bit of a note for the people who are in the UK. And this is worldwide, remember. We're just, you know, we're trying to... It's so bad here in the UK. It really is. You know, the UK is suffering under this. Anyone who's trying to get this... will either know people who are growers who have been arrested, probably today. There is an operation, which I'm trying to find, actually. I can't find it now at the moment. There's an operation actually gone on today where there's hundreds, and I mean hundreds of arrests being made on a clampdown. They're saying it's on a drugs clampdown, and I really do think it's time that they made a distinction under the Misuse of Drugs Act between a drug and a herb. Okay, one's not been messed with, it's pretty natural. What Rick's talking about is making a medicine. And that, really, yes, it should be. We should look at people like, they should have that, this, and so forth. Let them do that. But don't let them commercialise it, because we'll just be right back where we started with a formulation of a plant derivative made out of aluminium, arsenic, and Swiss cheese, you know, whatever they seem to want to throw in these medicines. So yeah, it's a bit of a sorry state in the UK. We would like to get the so-called head of the cannabis movement of the UK on, Sadama, get that right eventually, mate. Sadama has actually tried contacting him, so hopefully he'll be coming on in the next few weeks. We don't want to spend months going on about this. We want to keep this message being passed around the world. And right. With that note of getting it around the world, I think you're back with us, Rick, if you would, because they're not here to listen to me, mate.
No, I just wanted to make it, you know, clear to everyone, you know, this, and you did a wonderful job there filling in. And I mean, this really is what's happening, and there's no reason for it. You know, I mean, if that plant did present a danger, I'd be the first one to say, okay, keep it illegal. But I've been studying that plant for now for over a decade. And many of my friends who are highly educated, they've been studying it too. We have yet to find anything that's detrimental about the use of that plant. So everything we've ever been told, it was simply based on a pack of lies. I mean, back when they did this all back in the 1920s and 1930s, it was quite easy then because, you know, we didn't have the mass communication. We didn't have the internet. So the governments, they just kind of went ahead and did whatever they pleased. Well, in this case, I mean, when you outlaw the most medicinal plant, you know, in the world, I don't know how these people ever thought that they were going to continue to get away with it forever. And right now, their days are numbered, because, I mean, people are recognizing this. And, well, even the governments and all the pharmaceutical companies, they all know this is the future. I mean, GW Pharmaceuticals, they're trying to have patents on the natural cannabinoids. Guzman in Spain, he's patenting natural cannabinoids. There's groups in Italy doing the same thing. This is a natural plant. These people have no right to patent the cannabinoids from it. I mean, you know, they're just out there to fill their pockets is all it is. And I really don't know why anybody would put any trust in researchers anymore. The bottom line is, I mean, Michelin, he discovered THC in 1962. In 1975, the Medical School of Virginia study, which was put in place to determine or to prove that cannabis caused cancer, proved just the opposite. So then Gerald Ford turned around and he passed all rights to the research back to the very industry that was trying to hide it, the pharmaceutical industry. And their big idea was, you know, we're going to make synthetic cannabinoids and we're going to take the high out of that medicine. You know, well, why would anybody want to take the high out of hemp or cannabis? That makes no sense. I mean, you look at the other trash these companies provide, these OxyContin and all these horrible substances that are addictive and dangerous and deadly. And also they will get you high as a kite. They're not worried about the high that those things produce. But they are worried about the high that people might get if they smoke pot. Well, I mean, it's all a bald-faced lie. And like I said, I don't push smoking pot so much for medicinal use. But it is. Even smoking pot is medicinal. There's no question about it. It's been proven. But you don't really see the real magic, you know, that this plant has to offer until you start ingesting the raw, unburned cannabinoids. That's when the miracles happen. So I look at police officers today, like you were saying, about all these raids that just took place. You know, I mean, are these people completely brain dead? Do they not have family members that are going to get cancer or already have cancer? Are their futures, you know, in the future, are they not going to get these diseases themselves? But yet they'll run around and go raid us, you know, because that's what the government wants. Well, I mean, the police officers are supposed to be working for the people. Doesn't it say protect and serve? Well, who are they protecting and who are they serving? Because right now, it doesn't look to me like it's the public. They're protecting and serving the big money. And that's not what they were hired to do. So I think these cops better take a deep breath and start to realize, you know, what they are actually doing. And I think they should stop going along with this foolishness.
Hear, hear. Rick Simpson for the head of the English cannabis movement. But apparently, Rick, information is coming in that Peter did actually, Reynolds, is it Peter Reynolds? Ronald?
Reynolds, yeah.
Did actually speak to one of our Dark City researchers today, and he did actually say he was coming on the show. He would come on the show. He probably would. It's not over. He has got time to do that, of course. He did have Skype, and he was going to be coming on the show. Maybe he is going to turn up. We call this the Dark City Trustworthy Test. You know, when you ring somebody up or you talk to somebody and they say you're going to do it, if they're not going to do it, he'll let us know, I'm sure. Because there has been quite a few allegations, you might say, made against this gentleman. I'd like to give him the opportunity to speak up, you know, to say his piece, because it's not nice what we're hearing. But hey, you know, often it is when you get people who are spearheading things, or they're moving on with things, they're making changes, you know, coming up with something outside the box, you know, different. Oh, look, it's different. It must be wrong. Let's assault it. We see this a lot, a hell of a lot, in all forms, all walks of life. So, yeah, I'm sure the case is that you know, the guy will get in touch with us, and he will come and speak to us. And that this is just people throwing mud. Sure, they're doing all they can to legalize it in the UK. Doesn't seem to have got very far, I must admit, over the last 25 years. I can hear myself having these conversations a very long time ago, Rick, and, you know, all what's happened is they've changed the law a couple of occasions. There have been times here in the UK where people have used cannabis on medical grounds, gone to Crown Court and been found not guilty. And now they keep changing the law and saying that does not apply.
Yes, they like to dance around this subject. But, I mean, we all know Queen Victoria used cannabis medicines, for God's sakes. You know, if it's good for the Queen of England, I think it's good for the English people. It's just horrifying, you know, the excuses and nonsense they come up to. They come up with, it's all double talk, you know, and they'll never, you know, like, usually when you see people talking about cannabis, they'll put some young pimple-faced kid on there that doesn't know anything about the subject. You know, all he does is tee-hee and laugh all the way through it. And then they bring somebody on from the government to make a fool of them. Well, I mean, if they want people to talk about cannabis, why don't they put somebody like me on the air? Because I'll take on any doctor anywhere on this planet. Come ahead, because I'll defrock you. That's the bottom line. Because,
well, there we go,
this,
Rick.
This is real medicine.
And there's the challenge again, Rick. Put the challenge out again there. This is what we're here for. We've got a couple of months or whatever it is until you start moving around, Rick. We're not here. We're not going to sit around and wait for them forever. You know, that's the challenge. If you're a doctor, you're a nurse, you're anyone, challenge it, Rick.
Yeah.
Challenge him on this.
Defend your profession. And it's the same thing with all these people that are calling themselves activists that want to see this taxed and regulated. To me, that's not a hemp activist. You know, hemp activists are the guys like me that stand there and say, make it completely legal for anyone on this planet to grow this plant and stop the nonsense. That's an activist. But if they're up there, if there's somebody on a stage standing before you telling you that, you know, we should tax this and we should, you know, put all these regulations in place, they're just government flunkies, you know, and they have their own hidden agendas. I don't have an agenda. My agenda is just to see a much healthier planet. And that's what that plant can give us.
Totally. Absolutely. Totally smack on, man. It really is. It's not just the other uses. Umpteen, literally dozens and dozens of hundreds. Dozens of hundreds of umpteen uses. There you go.
Yeah. Over 50,000 different things. You know, I mean, you can produce over 50,000 different things. We could be living in hemp houses that wouldn't fall down and rot away. You know, we could be driving hemp cars that aren't rusting to death. We could have hemp boats, hemp airplanes. I mean, it's just endless what you can do with this. As a matter of fact, I heard in Thailand that they're putting in a 5,000-kilometer highway over there made from hemp. They're actually cutting the right-of-way, growing the hemp, and building the highway from hemp as they're going. So I was pretty interested when I heard that. But the end, it's just there's no end to the, you know, the usefulness of this plant. It just goes on and on. And, you know, all of the things that we have today, the plastics and all that are made from fossil fuels, these same plastics can all be created in an earth-friendly way from the cannabis hemp plant. So why are we drilling all these holes in Mother Earth and poisoning the planet and producing all of this plastic that in turn, again, is poisoning the planet? You know, when we could be doing this in a sensible way that's not going to harm the human race and it's not going to harm the planet.
Go on, Lee. You there?
Oh, yeah, just wanted to add a quick couple of things, because obviously we get a lot of people asking from the UK how can we get oil, and the only real solution is obviously growing it yourself. Now, I just want to throw out a few solutions. Obviously, I've been growing weed for years, tried lots and lots of different ways and methods over the years with learning on the way. And one of the best books I ever read was years ago, for small in apartment growing, was a book by a guy called Ed Rosenthal, and it was called The Closet Cultivator, and it gave so many great imaginary ideas on where you can grow inside your own home in very small spaces, even down into wall cabinets and things like that, sideboards you can convert. You don't, as you know, you'll probably have this than me on the things, but you can, if people do decide to grow for themselves, there's different ways of doing it with small fluorescent setups that don't use it, generate a lot of heat. But obviously the golden rule is, if you are going to do it, do yourself a favor and don't tell anybody, man, because that's where people get nicked. And
that's the best advice you can give anyone. Yeah, I don't know why it is, but when people start growing hemp, they seem to become their own worst enemies. You know, they have to show it to their friends and their neighbors, and in a lot of cases that gets them busted. You know, but so you're absolutely right. Keep it to yourself. And, you know, it's really even the indoor growing part of it. I've given away hundreds of thousands of seeds to patients, you know, when they used to come to my house, because I want to see people, you know, to be able to, you know, to grow their own medicine. So I gave away all these seeds, and a lot of people came back, you know, like especially women in their like 70s and 80s. They would come back and tell me that they, you know, they've set up a small system and that they really enjoy it. You know, they think it's the greatest hobby they ever had, and it is. But, you know, it is true that, you know, I'm more in favor of outdoor growing because that's where plants are supposed to grow. But in reality, if you just had a small area in your basement, something just a couple meters, if you have the proper lighting, you can grow all the medicine in that small area to take care of your whole family. And it won't cost you, well, beyond the light bill, it won't cost you very much money. But even the light bill today, I mean, with the LED fixtures that are available, they run very cheaply. I really think the old days of the high-pressure sodium and, you know, these high-pressure 1,000-watt bulbs and things like that, I think the days are numbered there, for, you know, for the use of these type bulbs, because they're not efficient at all. 88% of the energy they produce comes out as heat, while only 12% actually comes out as light. So we need something much more efficient, and the LEDs do seem to be a great deal more efficient than the old high-pressure sodiums, and they do seem to have a pretty good effect on the plants. But as I mentioned here, I think on the last show, I mentioned about the new plasma lighting fixtures that are coming online these days. Now, the last company I talked to was 2 years ago, and at that time, they wanted €5,000 for one 1,000-watt plasma bulb. But that one bulb, it went into a fixture that was 10 meters long. This one bulb would light up a whole grow room. Instead of having 10, 20 high-pressure sodiums, you had one plasma bulb that took care of everything. And it's exactly the same light as what you would get from the sun. But, by now the prices should be coming down. I'm not sure exactly sure what they are now, but I really do think in the future that there's going to be a great number of us that are going to have our own little suns, probably in our basements.
Rick, there's an interesting remark from Stop the Rot in chat, and it's something that's dear to my heart as well. Everyone keeps talking about legalizing cannabis, but, you know, whenever they legalize anything, they tax it and they control it. And what we really want is for them to decriminalize it, throw all the cannabis legislation off the books, and let us all start again, is it not?
Yeah, but decriminalization doesn't mean that. They're not going to send you to jail over it anymore, but they still might fine you and that type of thing. I want total freedom here. You know, decriminalization isn't good enough. Complete and total legalization, the same as we had all through history. That's what we need.
Yeah, and there was another question actually from Dave, who was speaking earlier, and he wanted to know where in the UK to get seeds from. Now, I don't know whether you're best to answer that, or whether maybe Bob's best to answer that. But that's another question that's out there as well.
Well, Bob lives in England, so he probably has a better idea than me. I mean, There are hundreds of seed companies all over the planet, and quite a few of them do ship, you know, to foreign countries. But can you help us out with this one, Bob?
Not really. The internet. Getting hold of the seeds over the internet and mail order, there's nothing wrong with doing that. I suggest if you are going to grow, get just for your own protection, just do it through somebody who isn't going to be growing them. You know, if you are going to be buying in the UK, I don't think anybody's going to track you down through buying seeds on the internet, but just be on the safe side. You know, as the lads have said before, you can never be too careful. Look for a really reputable seed company. There are a few you can use out there. I suppose the nearest to us would be the Sensi Seeds Banks. Personally now, I've been looking at Canadian seeds because they've got more genetical ancestries, so there's more crossbreeding gone on, and this makes them more like if you thought of antibiotics, it makes them like a broad base antibiotics. And then look for any seed with a higher CBD to THC. So yeah, just look for that. Canada is actually really leading the field. Before that, I only used Sensi seeds in Amsterdam. They are a major producer of flaxseed around the world as well. So they were retaining the genetical ancestry of a lot of the Cannabis Cup winners. So it was giving you a good stock to choose from and a reputable supply. The problem with this is, like Rick said, you never know what you're going to get. You could actually be paying quite a lot of money for something which, at the end of the day, could just be a standard indica or sativa strain. So, yeah, look for a reputable company and then basically the internet.
So. And I would like to make it clear to people too, Bob, that when I was ordering strains and crossing the strains, I wasn't looking for CBD content. I was just looking for the strongest, most sedative pot on this planet. And that's what I made the medicine from. Now, I'm not saying that CBDs, CBNs, there's so many of these cannabinoids, you know, and they all work together to create these wonderful healing effects. But there's a lot of people out there today jumping up and saying, you know, well, you need these high CBD oils. And, you know, I'm not saying that CBDs are not beneficial to some extent, but I think if you go too far overboard with the CBDs, I know in the Czech Republic, there was a group there that were playing with very high CBD oils, and two of the patients they were treating died. And I think it was because they just simply didn't have enough THC in the oil to do the job properly. You know, my oils, when they're tested, they usually test at 95% or more THC. Then it's usually 1.5% CBN and 1.9 or 2% CBDs. That, you know, that's the kind of test results we've got back. And these are the oils that have proven to be the most effective in saving people's lives who are, you know, are threatened with life-threatening conditions.
Right. Well, I'll retract that then immediately. I'll retract that immediately. Well, I will, man. It's all about learning.
The different, you know, cannabinoids and their interaction, then, you know, I know CBDs, they all play their role. But, you know, today it's a simple way to make a sale. You know, look, they got all this propaganda up there about the high CBD oils. Well, you jump up, I've got a high CBD oil, so people will buy it. But I put it right in my book that I've really never gone along with that type of thinking. You know, just look for the most sedative type of cannabis you can get your hands on. And companies like DNA Seed Bank, I mean, they have strains like LA Confidential. There's other strains in California like Pineapple Chunk. These are all very strong strains, and they'll all produce damn good medicine. So I don't think you'll have too much trouble, you know, determining, you know, where to get the seeds from. But the reason I want to, you know, do this my own seed thing is because I want to grow these super powerful strains. And I know in the end, these strains will produce the best medicines.
Well, the best I can actually do on that is Super Cool Seeds. These are also known as TGA seeds from Canada. And they were purchased in the UK from www.seedcity.com. And they did arrive, so they're okay. Nobody's kicked me door through. I'm not growing them, of course. I don't grow now, not because I was raided by the police. I don't grow now, not because I was raided by the police, which this house has been raided, but I wasn't actually in the UK when that took place. And we actually had gangsters, or criminals, whatever you would call them, smash into my home in the middle of the night because they thought I had a cannabis farm. Because they thought we had a cannabis farm. So looking for, you know, because it's money to them, it's money, it's not medicine. Until we get it legalized, completely legalized, and I agree with Rick there, and then that's going to continue. And you're not going to get somebody breaking into your house and threatening you with torture because they think you've got lots of money, because they think you've got a high-grade product which they can sell. Probably cut with glass and fiberglass and so forth to bring up the weight on the street. So, you know, this because it's not legal, and this is actually happening, and this has turned, you could say, a lot of individual medical growers into victims. And then they are being taken before court and victimized again by the courts. So we've got to do something. We have actually got to do something. So if anybody is in the Manchester area and they do want to grow some seeds, and I do know of a good place you can get a few. I've got them actually right there.
Well, I'd have to say, Bob, there probably are. As a matter of fact, I know there is. There are some growers out there that have made some money doing this. There's no question. But most of the growers that I've known, like through my life, they were just poor people trying to get by. They didn't have any extra money. As a matter of fact, most cases, they didn't even have jobs because, you know, the area that I come from, it's very depressed here. There's not a lot of work, you know. And when you got small children, you know, like, they need to be fed. And the people that I knew that were doing this, I mean, they might grow 5 pounds or 10 pounds a year or something like that, but they weren't growing it just so they could be drug dealers. They were growing it just so they could survive. But, you know, I mean, here they'll put you in jail for that. Of course, the same pretty well everywhere else. But it's really a sad situation. And in truth, I mean, I look at the growers, the hemp growers, as far as I'm concerned, they're the heroes. They're the ones that said, you know, to hell with you and your laws. I'm going to grow my pot. Leave me alone. And I think that, you know, they deserve credit. They're not criminals. You're not a criminal because you grow a God-given plant. You're a criminal because you deny someone from growing it. That's what makes you a criminal.
Hi, Rick. Is my voice coming through clear on this? Because I do wobble now and again.
Loud and clear, brother.
Right. You mentioned LEDs before, and I've done, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years research on it, actually creating sort of like an LED grow light. But what I found on the current market, yeah, is that there is one company out there that are very close. But what I found out, nobody uses the 420 nanometer LED, which is, they call it ultra blue, which makes the flowers fatten out.
Right.
That's bit of like 25 to 33% of the light. The current existing LED lights out there, if they've got blue in, they're the wrong blue. They should be a royal blue, or they call it, I'm not sure if it's a dental blue or not, but they call it royal blue. Yeah. Okay. Then you've got the red, which is the one they're using correctly, but not in sufficient quantities. The fourth one is called a deep red, which is like around 720, 740 nanometers. Now, the proportion of the red in relation to the other one is a lot. There's a lot of red in it. Right. Now, if you, from this one company out there that does sell the grow lights, one part of their study is that the ratios between the two reds control the shade leaves. So like when the shade leaves come on, the light goes through and light gets filtered and split in its different colors. They found out at two ratios. One, when it's sort of like growing, if you set this ratio right, you get what they're calling is a quantum additive effect. Rather than the light having two parts worth of growth, it produces three times as much growth. Mm-hmm. This ratio changes when you get into like the flowering stage. So with an LED light, you could alter the ratio between the two reds to control the shade leaves and do what you want. Also opens the stomata at the bottom to allow plants to breathe more. When I had a look at it, nobody, in quotations, is using the 420 nanometer LED. But there's also a quantitative effect between the blue and the purple, yeah? Took it a step further as well and crossed them all over, and there's a quantity effect between all of them. I've not tested this yet, but I reckon sort of like the growth power out of it would be somewhere between like 150, not being a minimum, and 240 watts per square meter. As for the yield this would produce, I could say it'd be more, but I don't know. But I think it would be a quiet lot. One company out there that is using nearly all the correct LEDs is using a green LED, and they said there's an effect off that. My personal opinion on that one is that they put in the green LED in to make the figures look better, because light generally is measured in lumens, which is based on the white light spectrum, which it would give it a higher value. You're probably better off turning that off and on the night cycle using the green so you can see the plants. I think I've covered everything about that, but you're looking at between 150 and 240 watts. Now, the efficiency of LEDs is increasing every day. It should be this year that the LED is more efficient for us.
I checked into LEDs myself quite a few years ago. And my son, one of my sons, he's good with electronics. And we checked into LEDs, and at that time, I wanted to know how long these lights would last. And at that time, this is back, 15 years or more ago. But at that time, they were saying that a standard LED would burn for 115 years. And that sounded pretty good to me.
It does sound good, but generally on the specifications from like the LED manufacturers and stuff, I mean, they've got to cover their guarantee and stuff. But it's seven years without any degradation in light quality or frequency. Now, if you think of, you've got like a sodium bulb, which just produces mainly orange and not any of the other colors, really, it's highly inefficient. And I don't know, probably people more out of there, but like 6 months out of a bulb before it does.
Well, we used to use bulbs like that twice. After you run two crops with it, we would change the bulbs out. But, I don't look at these bulbs as being, from the experience we've had with them, there's no question, you know, high-pressure sodiums will grow decent bud. But the best results I ever seen, one time we took a 1,000-watt high-pressure sodium and a 1,000-watt metal halide, and we put it in about a 2.5 square meter area. And that grew the biggest buds I ever seen indoors. The plants like that combination. But, you know, again, it varies from strain to strain, too, because some strains like the lights a little bit different, you know. There's so many variables with this. But I do think there's a great future for LEDs. And, you know, there's still a place for, you know, high-pressure sodiums and things like that to some extent. But I think we have to move to more efficient ways of doing this and safer ways because, you know, the heat, I was running two 1,000-watt bulbs in my basement there one time, and I had hooked up to a six-inch, just a piece of six-inch pipe, and, I was blowing air through the fixtures. And, a house, I've got a pretty fair-sized house, but when you're blowing that heat, like, off the lights right back into the basement, I heated my house the whole winter that way. I didn't have to turn on the electric heat at all. And I measured it. It was coming out at about 90 degrees. Just, you know, as long as the lights were on, it would heat the house.
From that, you were saying using the metal halide. Now, am I right in that produces the blue?
The blue, yes.
Yeah. The LEDs, if you get the right blue, royal blue, remember that? And the 420 ultra blue, put that in it. If you're a bit dubious about doing it, give it a go. Mm-hmm. Use it as supplementary light into your sodium.
Well, I've tried just about everything. I've tried every type of growing and different combinations of lights. I even tried some infrared lights one time, which didn't work out too well. But the only problem I find right now with the LEDs, a friend of mine in the Czech Republic, he grows with LEDs. And when you walk into his grow room, when it's lit up, I don't know, it bothers my head. It just, like, I can walk in with high-pressure sodium or metal halide or plasma or something like that. It doesn't bother me, but there's something about that LED light that it makes me feel funny. I can't explain it, but this fellow, he's growing beautiful crops.
It's really, really bright, the LEDs. The thing is, it's got a narrow band frequency, whereas, like, going back to, like, the frequency spectrum of lighting again, human eye is aimed for the green spectrum, so it doesn't look actually that bright. But it is really bright, so sort of like some eye protection would be pretty good. But well, like, I mean, you said you're going back to sort of like infrared and you found it didn't work at that time. Yeah, I can agree with that, but that goes back to that quantitative effect of the balance between the two reds, the normal red and the deep red. Now, the deep reds, they're the newest ones that come out. They're getting more efficient and stuff, but it's about, the red's about 75% of the light.
Well, I mean, the way I look at it, if you can mimic the sun as closely as possible, then it's pretty hard to go wrong. But, you know, I think we're going to see vast improvements, you know, in indoor growing systems, you know, especially once this is legalized, because there will be a lot of people wanting to grow indoors. But with me, it's you can't beat Mother Nature. I like, you know, open hillside, lots of good horse manure and plenty of water. And I love it when I see those plants growing 5 and 6 inches a day. It's just phenomenal, you know, to see the when they start shooting up like that. I didn't realize that plants could grow that fast.
If you get the LEDs as well, and if it's what you call pulse width modulation, it turns them on and off very fast. It gives the effect of dimmer and stuff, but you can alter the ratios between the different levels as well. But if you link that into sort of like something like a digital calendar, which is pennies, you can set a cycle, a daily cycle, a growth cycle, anything you want. I have been researching stuff where you can sort of like link it in with Bluetooth, link it over the internet, download settings for lights for different seeds and stuff like that. So that'd be pretty close. Not as good as Mother Nature. No way. If you like it, it'd be pretty good. The other idea is that if you've got a room that's got, I don't know, some way of venting or something that lets natural light in and then close to give you cycles right, and then like the LEDs take over, that takes very little power.
Well, it's hard to beat a greenhouse. If you've got a good greenhouse, that's a great way to grow them.
You actually just described my dream to be able to look out and see it growing on the hillside, Rick. I've got to agree with you that it is crazy that we've had to go to such lengths, do such research to be able to get this medicine. I know when Robo Hippie's speaking, he speaks from an authority because he's done it. And what he failed to mention is he did use the right blue LEDs, 420. We're not going to tell you how he got them, but he did. And that experimentation was done. And there's a point there where he said he couldn't verify it because we could go no further. But it is extraordinary, Rick. You know, I look into this so-called pothead, you know, whacked out junkies, you know, the names that are put on us. And we're a massive integrated research group. And this information starts to come together. And I really do go off David's sentiments earlier. We've got to kind of get it together. We really have. Like, nobody else is going to do it for us. I don't want to see anybody else threatened in the night by gangsters or police breaking into their homes. You know, I don't want to see any more fallen heroes. I really don't. And we've got to find some solutions. We really have. And if that means working together, I'll even go down Prager and Carly's earlier sentiments when you first joined us. Plant seeds everywhere if we have to. I do feel like if we can show that we are responsible, you know, we are bank managers and lawyers and postmen and shopkeepers and milkmen and engineers. You know, we are what we are. We're in all walks of life, and we're not criminals. We're not drug dealers. We're not trying to, you know, create a terror movement through finance. You know, we're trying to, I suppose, our big terror movement to them is getting Rick Simpson set up where we can get Rick Simpson seeds free of charge. You know, they'll be free of charge and get this medical standard, if you like, so people can know, we can test for the amounts. It's not easy. It's easy to grow it, but it's not easy to know how much THC to CBG you've got, how many cannabinoids you've got, you know, have you Delta 9, and, you know, that needs to be sorted out. It's not that we haven't got the capabilities, and it's not that the technology isn't there to do it. What's stopping us?
It really doesn't take much technology. When I stumbled into this, I mean, I didn't have any labs or any fancy equipment. You know, I just went ahead and followed my instincts. And, you know, where my instincts led me, I was just totally blown away. You know, when you see this type of healing power, this is something that you read about in a science fiction book. You know, none of us think that this could be real, especially somebody like me, you know, with my background around hospitals. You know, I never really thought there could be such a thing as a cure-all. But there's no question in my mind, it's like I said, this medicine should be the first defense against any illness, the way I feel, or from what I've seen. And I just can't come up with any medicine at all that's manufactured by drug companies that comes anywhere near close to the healing power. And practically everything the drug companies give us, it's all harmful. There's nothing harmful about hemp. So, I mean, this is real medicine. And this is the medicine that our forefathers used freely. You know, when you look at the United States of America, and we talk about the founding fathers, you know, look at Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, people like that. They were all involved in hemp. George Washington, he had a plantation. You know, Thomas Jefferson, he was a big, huge supporter of this. Benjamin Franklin, one of the greatest inventors in history. He never patented anything he invented. Everything he invented, he just openly said, he said, if it's good for the people, why would you want to put a patent on it? And I have to agree with that man. But when you look at it today, you know, people today would call the founding fathers of the United States potheads, for God's sakes. And these were some of the finest minds in history. I think we could learn a lot from these potheads, don't you?
I do. I'm with you, me, Rick. I'm the disciple of the Rick Simpson School of Mythical Magic. I really am, man. I'm right into it. I have been for many years. Have we got anybody else there? Have we got anybody else who wants to throw a question in or challenge Rick? Go on, challenge Rick on Dark City. Truth or Smackdown. Doctors, nurses. I mean, I know there probably isn't any of you listening now, or maybe there is. You know, what do I know? I haven't looked at it.
Even Abraham Lincoln, I mean, he was probably, when you look at presidents of the past, he's probably the people's favorite. Abraham Lincoln liked nothing better to sit on his veranda and smoke his pipe full of hemp. You know, he was the same as us. He used hemp. You know, so if people could just understand, you know, that these were great leaders and they were great thinkers. And, you know, what's happening in today's society, they're discouraging free thinking and free thought. You know, it's horrible. You know, the big money goes out, they hire all the smartest people as they graduate from these colleges, and then they take all that knowledge and they use that knowledge against us. You know, they're always looking for better ways to control us. And I don't think that so much that the human race needs to be controlled. I think we need a little bit more reasoning power than we currently have. But I honestly, I mean, governments hate me anyway because I don't believe in borders. I think the world would be a much better place if there was no such thing as borders. You know, if we could all openly travel freely, we would all intermingle, and it would promote understanding. But as long as we're willing to stay behind these borders and have our governments tell us, you know, well, you should hate some other country because they don't think the same as you, you know, all that's ever going to do is just going to perpetuate war forever. Now, we need understanding. And I really do believe that I think it is time for a world government, but not the New World Order type government. You know, I think every region should be represented by somebody, you know, with a high moral standard and somebody that's honest. I think there should be a world council that is using all these resources that are confiscated, that should be confiscated from the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and Rothschilds, and all the rest of them. You know, put these resources and money in the hands of people that will do something good for the whole human race. Will help people everywhere. And do it all with an open book policy. No more hidden meetings. There's no need of this. Because the minute you have a hidden meeting, well, then you've got corruption. And this is what's ruining our world. So let's get rid of the corruption. Let's reintroduce hemp. Bring it back to what it's always been. And I know in my heart that we will have a much better world.
Rick, if I may, it's Callie. We spoke on Sunday. And one of the things that we mentioned on Sunday was that, because it's being emphasised that cannabis oil is an excellent treatment for cancer. Yeah. But we touched on the fact that it is also being used to cure addictions to pharmaceutical medications and to street drugs like heroin. and even to methadone, which is apparently 20 times more addictive than heroin. I wondered if you could possibly expand on that a little bit, because there's such a broad range of things that cannabis oil can be used to treat. And I think it's important to make sure that that's covered. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, I mean, dear, I mean, over the years, I had about 5,000 people come to me for treatment. Now, many of these people came, you know, they were suffering from, well, a lot of them were suffering from cancer, but they also had chronic pain, diabetes, and some with multiple sclerosis, you know, all kinds of different diseases. And when the patient would go on the oil, it wouldn't just go after the cancer, it was going after everything. You know, I remember one lady particularly, she was dead against this medicine, but she came and I talked her into it and she got on it. And she had, I think it was six different things wrong with her. She had problems with her gallbladder. She had polyps in the bowel, arthritis in her back. She had horrible allergies. She had all kinds of problems. And she got on that oil. Within 3 months, everything was gone. The oil took care of it all. And I honestly believe this is what the pharmaceutical industry is so afraid of, because this oil will basically replace all of their pharmaceuticals, and they know it. You know, and I've had a lot of patients that were taking 24 pills a day or more, and within 30 days, the only thing they're taking is the oil. So the pharmaceutical industry, when this comes out, the pharmaceutical industry is going to take a great big fall. And as far as I'm concerned, considering what they've done to us in the past, good riddance.
Absolutely, Rick. Thank you, Rick. I hear you.
Yeah. Sorry, Susan, I interrupted to go on. I was just saying thanks.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being on Dark City Radio. You're correct. You mentioned a few words that I triggered. One was war, one was the government or the corporate entity, and post-stress disorder. Working in the rehabilitation, the pharmaceutical companies direct their goods at people who suffer from disorders for stress disorder. The implications of the medication that they direct to them does not give them access to rehabilitate their own memories. It tends to dumb them out, whereas I have spoken to some people who find that with taking cannabis, they're able to deal with their issues and not have it blocked out, whereas the pharmaceutical companies tend to block any form of rehabilitation that one can do with in one's own mind. So I hear you there, and thank you again for being on Dark City Radio. And good morning. It's still quite early in Australia.
Thank you, dear.
There's a question coming from chat, or more like a bit of information, really, about legalization and decriminalization. To decriminalize it would take it completely out of the reaches of the state, but to legalize it would still leave it under state control. So I don't know if apparently, yeah, it's quite an important issue, really. I think what we're actually getting at, to get the right legal terms, it would be to decriminalize it so it would be completely out of the reaches of the state. I think that's what... Well,
As I understand it, Bob, though, when you decriminalize something, well, from what I've seen in other countries, they decriminalize it. Well, that means you can have small amounts of it. But if you have a little bit over, well, then you're back into criminal again. You know, so to me, it's just complete legalization. And I think that's really the best road to follow.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I honestly do not know whether it's the right which one is the lead. Did you want to get in there?
Yeah, just basically, it's all in the words, just so everybody knows. Holland, it's all to do with trade deals. The laws around Europe and the cannabis, if you look into the history of it, it's all to do with trade deals with the USA. And they can't take the laws, they can't break that trade deal, because they'll lose out on a lot of other trade, obviously, and the whole industry has collapsed. Well, that was the blackmail at the time, because the American industry was so strong. So they wrote that into trade deals that they couldn't, they had to prohibit marijuana. That's really why it became illegal in the Europe region. they can't, if you look into Holland, for example, on the law books, cannabis is illegal, but they chose to decriminalise it, which means it's still on the law books, but they chose not to chase people for it. There's still
Why was it made illegal?
It was the USA. It was American trade.
But you have to look at the reasons. Why was it made illegal in the first place?
Well, that we all there's a big conspiracy on that. We all know the reading into it, the Petro DuPont story, and the paper industry all tied into the same little boys' club, and they were very, very close-knit group, and they kind of crippled it as I.
Yeah, but that was all based in corruption, wasn't it?
Of course.
Well, in England, in Canada, in the United States, are we supposed to allow laws to be put on the books?
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying there, Rick, and I'm 100% with you. It's like the cannabis story and the conspiracy behind it was what woke me up to 20-odd years ago, you know, and it's ever since then I've been awake to everything all the way through. But if you... that's the issue. The issue is that there's trade deals that are in place now, for example, with the United Kingdom and America, that hold solid to a lot of trade issues, which might be dealing with so many different things we don't know. I got without going into it, but that is written into that trade deal. Now, if the UK all of a sudden said, okay, we're going to take those laws off the books and rip them up and they didn't exist and anybody can do what they want, there could be reprimandations from the USA. Now, this happened at a time when the USA's industry was very, very strong, and Europe wanted a part of America's industry and imports. That's the crunching point of the legalization side of things of it.
Yeah, well, that makes good sense. But, you know, to me, I don't even know how they put this in place. You know, I mean, in North America, I mean, all these farmers were freely growing this plant. Then all of a sudden in 1937, it's, you know, you got to have a tax stamp and all of this nonsense. Of course, you couldn't really get a tax stamp to sell your product. But those farmers, I can't believe that they didn't have a revolution at that time. You know, the farmers actually should have stood up and told the American government to go to hell. You know, because it's not based in any kind of sensible reasoning behind this. You know, this plant didn't hurt no one. It was a wonderful crop. Farmers used to pay their taxes with it. And now all of a sudden it's some kind of dangerous drug. You know, well, if hemp actually presented a danger, well, where are all the deaths from it? And where are all these drug addicts? You know, there's no drug addicts from hemp. You know, I mean, there's lots of drug addicts up there in pharmaceuticals and these hard street drugs, but you can't even get addicted to hemp. So, you know, why in God's name would anybody, other than corruption, that's the only reason I can see, you know, make more profit. But nobody ever really had the right to put a law in place against the use and growing and use of this plant. But that's what they did. And now we're going to change all of that.
Yeah, there seems to be a little bit of debate in the chat between all of this legalization and the legalization and the decriminalization. I'm not sure. It just shouldn't be. No one should be able to control it. You shouldn't be prosecuted for having it. I mean, simply.
Well, especially, you know, I mean, if you're talking about treating people and, you know, supplying oil to others, I mean, you need to have many, many pounds of this stuff available. You know, does that make you a drug dealer because you're making a medicine that's actually saving people's lives?
In the UK, yes. That's
yeah, in Canada, too, same thing. You know, this is a comedy. You know, like GW Pharmaceuticals have been selling their Sativex here in Canada for quite some time. Matter of fact, they were selling it when I was going through these court cases. You know, it's okay for a pharmaceutical company to produce this medicine and make it available, but for an ordinary citizen to do it, oh, no, now that's a crime. And we're going to make you into a criminal. And this is exactly what the Canadian, you know, the system did here in Canada. That's what they did to me. You know, they made me a criminal for saving people's lives. And I want you to know that has truly disgusted me. And that's the reason I'm not proud to call myself a Canadian any longer. Because, I mean, this country is so corrupted, it's just beyond belief. You know, we need leadership, and we need it in the worst way. And I don't see that happening in Ottawa.
we don't see it happening here in Manchester neither, Rick. So, yeah, you know, the irony of this, it's Sativex, I think it's called. It is available in the UK as well now. I think it works out at something, I don't know, I'll guess about £400 a gram or something like that. It's ridiculous how much the people are being charged for it. All the people who are against this, who kind of think, want to carry on with the way it, they're actually paying for the prescriptions. They're paying the £400 and odd. You know, they're actually paying for that, you know, to give as a replacement to people for, you know, the treatment under prescription. So, yeah, the people who aren't actually capable of paying for it get it for free, and the people who are against it are actually paying £400 every time it's prescribed. So even the people who are against it would actually save money. Of course, you're right about the chemical companies. Let's not call them drug companies, because the chemical companies, they make chemicals. That's what they are. The chemicals. No different than amphetamine, you know, it's a chemical. It's a drug. Let's make the distinction between something that can cause you no harm at all, doesn't hurt anybody. Okay, there are a few cases of, you know, you want to have a look what you're doing and be in the right environment, like anything else, you know. But you know, crazy. A little bit of irony. Anyway, Rick's kicking about with us. We're nearly out of time on the so-called that slot that we have here, but if you have been listening to Dark City, you know we do roll. Gives people plenty of time to get what they need to say and get it out there. Vent it. Especially. Well,
one thing you have to notice, Bob, who was called in to challenge us?
Oh, give That's them time. Tough. Give them time.
Yeah, they won't call in to challenge us. They don't have anything to challenge us with, Bob. That's what I've said right along about. That's the reason none of these medical professionals, when I do these big seminars in Europe, there's no doctor will get up on that stage with me.
Well, you know, yeah, well, we've put a challenge over it. You know, there's been quite a few. There's a few heads in this room now. You know, they're not these people aren't not intelligent people. We've got some really tuned in researchers. You know, go back a long way into all these rabbit holes. They really do, and none of them have challenged Rick. So I will gladly ring the bell on the first room from the Cure Show brought to us from Rick Simpson on the Dark City Radio. I will ring the bell as rank one to Rick Simpson here. However, let's keep that challenge open. Give them chance. We're not going to sit here on the radio forever talking about it, but we'll give them a chance, you know. This will go on podcast. It'll go on podcast. People will get to hear it. And, in about 3 or 4 minutes' time, we'll be right back and we'll be doing it again.